Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom. All praise, all glory, all honor belong to only one, and that is the true and the living Elohim, whose name is the mighty Yahweh. Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in it. Yahweh is the Elohim of three black men, which happens to be our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh is the king of the universe, and beside him there is none else, for he is the savior of the world. Well, today, my people, we have a power-packed broadcast for you today. You certainly don't want to miss it. It has everything to do with what the Almighty has done for us. And certainly, all of Yahweh's people should know what the Creator did for us. But it goes deeper than that. Praise the mighty Yahweh. And I can't wait to get to this great subject. But before we go there, we need to hear a song praising the Almighty. And what better song that I know than the revolution.
Your chest out and walk tall. Been not the fire or a liar. My niece is a nephew, stay strong. Remember these words if I'm gone. Let not your hope vanish away. Just get on your knees and pray. Palms up, face down. And they can't do nothing now when y'all children cry aloud. Come at me with the gas or come at me with the smoke. I say in the name of Yah, guaranteed that's all she wrote. I'm wearing black like Phantom. I come at you in the night when you wake up in the morning. All your firstborn smite. I got my banner at the top. I can see the holy mountain. Now the heathen's day is over. No more living in defilement. I got peace and state of mind. I'm the head and not the tail. On the day when Yah is rising, every opposition fail. Like, whoa.
Hallelujah. Praise be to the mighty Yahweh. Yahweh has truly blessed Israel. You might ask, who is Israel? Because a lot of people don't even know who we are. A lot of people have never heard of the true Hebrew Israelites. Any so-called African American or black descended of slave would feel great today when they know who they are. And most of our people, they don't even know their history. So in other words, they don't know what the Creator has done for them. They believe that when we was given the Declaration of Independence by our enemies, that that was a blessing for us from Creator himself. We believe that when we graduate and get a college degree from the colleges and various places in which we send our children to school for, and in most every case, they can't even find a job or a true business to keep up when they come out of these colleges. We think that when we get that, what is used to be called the sheepskin, these degrees, we think we have made it. We think that this is truly a blessing from the true and living Elohim. But we haven't been familiar with what is really a blessing from Yahweh. Because today, my people, we're going to be speaking of the various times that we're in today, and that is the days of unleavened bread. We're about to reach our new year. Can't you see the grass turning green? Can't you see the blooms on the trees? Can't you see the blossoms on the flowers? Can't you see that right now the days have been extended as far as more light than it was in the time past? And it's going to get more light as soon as we reach a new year. That's what happens. Because during the beginning of a new year, this is when there's more light. This is when it's the beginning of more light throughout the entire summer season, because that's what you have. You have a whole new year, which means a whole new season. And, of course, we only have two seasons, and that's summer and winter. Spring came from the heathens, fall as well. There's no such thing as spring and fall. They got this from the worship of their sun gods. So we're going to talk about, what did Yahweh do for us? Why is it so important for us to know about unleavened bread? And must I say, a lot of people don't know the meaning of unleavened bread. The word unleavened comes from the Hebrew word matzah, which means bread without yeast. So in other words, this is bread that is unfermented with no yeast. And the Almighty wanted us to get rid of all the yeast out of our homes. All of it. No matter where it is. Whether it's in your food or your cleaning materials or whatever you're using, the Creator wants this stuff out of our homes. He told us don't eat nothing unleavened, and we had to eat or nothing leavened because we had to eat unleavened bread. But why? Let's analyze this because it's so important because many people don't even know what it represents. And it's time for us to understand our way of life. First of all, let's go to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, Exodus chapter 12, and see what the true and living Elohim has to say concerning the days of unleavened bread. Exodus chapter 12. Of course, this was prior to the days of unleavened bread. This was the time that the Almighty was dealing with the Egyptians, dealing with what was going on with our ancestors in the land of Egypt. And it's very important that we know and understand what this means to us. For instance, we're in Exodus, the 12th chapter, and the true and living Elohim is about to let us know what it represents for us to eat unleavened bread. This is what it reads. And we're going to start reading at verse 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Wow. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. So let's see what the true and living Creator is trying to tell us, because I'm here to tell you, my people, many ministers, many bishops, many mores, kohens, you name it, rabbis and rabbis, have mistaught these scriptures to the extent that they have our people believing you could keep the feast of unleavened bread even today. Well, must I say, this is wrong. We cannot celebrate the feast of unleavened bread. Let me make that crystal clear. We don't celebrate the feast of unleavened bread in America, in Asia, in Africa, in Arabia. It doesn't make any difference where we are. We don't celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. However, there's something the Creator told us to do everywhere we live for the rest of our lives, and we must keep it. And I'm going to break this down. We're going to start back at the 15th verse because we need to see what we're doing. We need to understand what the words of the true and living Elohim, just how much they mean to us and for what he did for us when he brought us out. The days of unleavened bread represents the days of our freedom, when Yahweh brought us out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. And we're going to see that because it's very important. A lot of people believe that we actually left on the Passover night, the night of the Passover. So therefore, they're missing something that we were to keep forever in all our generations. Yes, and we're going to show you that. Because it's very important that we understand this very, very important time in our life. And it's quite important because this is when the Almighty gave us the freedom to leave our enemies. As we desire today the freedom, at least I hope we do. I hope some of us is not so comfortable that we want to stay in America or Babylon or modern Egypt, because this is our Egypt right here. So it's very important that we look at what the word of the true and living Elohim has to say concerning this. For instance, in the 15th verse, again, he said, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. That means matzos. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Wow. So the Creator is pretty serious about this great day and this time. But let's look at something, because as I said, many of our people have been taught by the Jewish man that you literally should be trying to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread even in Chicago, even in Atlanta, even in New York, even in Pennsylvania. That doesn't make no difference. You got people coast to coast thinking that Yahweh is commanding us to keep this feast in America, or wherever we're scattered. But let's analyze this. He said, and in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation. Well, guess what? We don't keep these holy convocations in captivity. And I've got to show you what he means when he told us that in the next verse, or the latter part of this verse, and the next verse, it says, no man of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. But let me show you, my people, the criteria of the law that shows us that we're not to try to celebrate it anywhere we go. For instance, let's go to the book of Exodus, the 34th chapter. Let's go to Exodus 34, and let's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Let's learn about how to keep the Almighty's feast days in its proper perspective. This is what he told us in the book of Exodus, the 34th chapter, starting at the 18th verse. He reads, the Feast of Unleavened Bread shall thou keep. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, as I commanded thee in the time of the month of Abib. For in the month of Abib thou camest out from Egypt. Hallelujah. So in other words, the month of the green ears of grain, when the tender herbs began to bud, this is when he brought us out of Egypt. Well, my people, guess what? this time, we must understand it's not automatic. It's not automatic. Now, it's going to occur, but some years it don't occur every 12 months. Because you have some people that believe that once 12 months occur, every 12 months, then we're to start celebrating a new year. And this is erroneous. Because Yahweh told us in the time of the month of Abib, that makes the difference. This is when Yahweh brought us out of Egypt, in the month when the tender herbs of the barley is tender in the ear. And must I say, just past last year, after the 12th month, meaning we counted 12 months after we celebrated the feast, or may I say we celebrated the new year, and the 12th month, we didn't see no Abib, none. There was none found nowhere. It was cold, it was snowy, and everyone was wondering, are we going to have another month? Because guess what? We can't celebrate it in the 12th month or after the 12th month, because in the 12th month, we saw no tender herbs, no Aviv. See, the Almighty commanded us, as he said. He said, the feast of unleavened bread shall thou keep 7 days. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread as I commanded thee in the time of the month of Abib. For in the month of Abib thou camest out from Egypt. So in other words, not just any month, but it had to be the month of Abib. So I'm telling you, just this past last year, we find that the Abib was not found in the 12th month in Jerusalem. And of course, this is where we acknowledge the Abib. This is the place Yahweh told us to keep in our minds forever, no matter where we were scattered. Jerusalem is the capital of our nation. Jerusalem is where nations are going to come one day during the Feast of Tabernacles. They're going to come and worship Yahweh, or they're not going to get no rain. So in other words, this is very important to us to understand just the importance of the city of Jerusalem, the city of David, Yerushalayim. Let's understand. This is where Mount Zion is. And if Mount Zion don't have the time right of the Abib, we don't acknowledge nowhere else. And there was no Abib found in Israel. Nowhere. It wasn't even in Jerusalem. So guess what we had to do? We had to count another month. And praise Yahweh, I understand the wisdom that he's giving to us. See, Yahweh only named out of his mouth. He only put a name on one month, and that was the month of Abib. Hallelujah. So in other words, we were to wait on this month, because this is the month that we came out, the month of the green ears of grain. And Yahweh told us in the 19th verse, all that openeth the matrix is mine, and every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male, but the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. Because that's what we were going to do. In order for you to celebrate the feast of unleavened bread, my people, you're going to present yourselves right in front of the Creator. That's why it says, and none shall appear before me empty. 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. in earing time and in harvest, thou shalt rest. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. So that means when the summer is over, that is in the eyes of Yahweh, the end of the year, meaning the harvest year. And the Creator is letting us know in the 23rd verse, thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before Yahweh Elohim, the Elohim of Israel. Thrice. Now, let's analyze what the true and the living Elohim is letting us know, which means he's saying three times in a year. Three times, thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before Yahweh Elohim, the Elohim of Israel. Now, look what it is letting us know. He said, for I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land. You notice it says thy land, when thou shalt go up to appear before Yahweh, thy Elohim, thrice in the year. Hallelujah. So in other words, this was a feast day that we actually came up to appear before Yahweh. All of us and our men children were to appear before Yahweh. So you can understand why they're shooting down our people. You can understand why they want to murder as many young black men that they can. Because they know how much Yahweh loves our little young brothers, these little young warriors, these brothers whose blood drips with kingship, and our sisters' blood that drips with queenship. They hate our people enough to murder us, to butcher us, to shoot us down like a dog, like they did in Wisconsin just recently. We have to understand, my people, what's going on? Well, Yahweh giving you a taste. See, Yahweh loved our young brothers, his little young sons. He loved them. He loved them now. And he wants to see them return back to him. And the Almighty has a way of getting our attention. So the Almighty be jealous. He'd be jealous when he seeing our little boys go and worship another God. When we be sending him to church to worship Christ. When we send our little young boys and girls to worship Uncle Al, A-L-L-A-H. This makes Yahweh angry. To the extent that Yahweh promised he would kill us. Can you see how precious and how much he loved us and our little young men and said, make sure you bring them same young men three times in a year that they're murdering like wildfire today. Just think about what I'm telling you, my people. Here you're reading where Yahweh loved our children so much, our young men. He said, thrice in a year shall all your men children appear before Yahweh your Elohim. He's telling you by commandment. What kind of life are we giving our youth today? They don't even know where their blessings come from. You're telling them that they come from Yeshua, Yahawashah, JC, Christ, because he died for you and me. Yahweh is trying to tell us. We came up three times in a year. And it let you know, he ain't talking about you came up to Atlanta. or you came up to Chicago, or you came up to New York City. We came up to Jerusalem. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, and furthermore, let's see what the true and living Elohim furthermore says about this great time. In Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, look what Yahweh is commanding us, starting in the first verse. He said, observe the month of Abib. He's telling us again. And keep the Passover unto Yahweh, thy Elohim. For in the month of Abib, Yahweh, thy Elohim, brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Hallelujah. So in other words, when Yahweh say observe the month of Abib, he's telling you observe the moon of the green ears. Observe the new moon of Abib. Because every month is counted from that new moon. That's why in scripture, if it reads something to do on the 17th day of the month, Yahweh is letting us know this is what you're to do on the 15th day from the new moon. Because the day of the new moon, the first day, that is the first day of the month, which by law we were to worship Yahweh on all the beginnings of our months. So the same Hebrew word, Kodesh, goes with this because moon and month is synonymous. Observe the new moon of Abib and keep the Passover unto Yahweh thy Elohim, for in the month of Abib, Yahweh thy Elohim brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Now one would say, wonder what night he's talking about. What night did he bring us out of Egypt? What night was it that we were liberated? Certainly it must be the night of the 14th day during the Passover. That's what many of our people and the world have been taught. But my people, did you know that Yahweh is talking about a completely different night altogether? Oh, yes, we're going to check out this night that Yahweh is talking about. And that's what I mean, just how important these days of unleavened bread, which is approaching us, just how important it is, to the extent that we don't even know when they truly began, because we don't know how to tell time in the eyes of Yahweh. We've been so influenced by heathens, as Yahweh commanded us, don't learn the ways of heathen. And don't be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen is dismayed. They are confused. They're discombobulated when it comes to the way we count our days in the eyes of Yahweh. Don't be like them. Don't be like everybody else. Don't be like everybody else that has a calendar on their walls. We got a calendar in the sky that's been there since the time that he ordained it to be so, that we were to know the words that it speaks. Oh, yes, the moon, the sun, the stars, they have speech. Just read Psalms, the 19th chapter, starting at the first verse. Read it, meditate, pray on it. Oh, yeah, their words are silent, and it's not like you hear an audible voice, like we don't hear an audible voice of Yahweh, but their line goes out through all the earth, which means their words are greatly heard no matter where you go, because those that know what they mean, they know their words speak volumes. And the Creator told us in the second verse, thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto Yahweh thy Elohim of the flock and the herd in the place which Yahweh shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coasts for 7 days. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. So in other words, how are we going to remember if we can't keep the Passover in this country, which we cannot keep? If we cannot celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we cannot by law, because Yah said 3 times in a year shall all your men children appear before me, and they better not come empty-handed. If we can't celebrate the Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread right now, how are we going to remember this time? Well, Yahweh in his infinite wisdom has given us his commandments. Here's how we're going to remember it. He said in the 3rd verse of Deuteronomy 16, thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coasts 7 days. So he commanded us to eat unleavened bread and to have no leaven to be found in our homes, nor were we to eat leavened bread. This is how we were going to remember. Now, where did the Creator say that we had to keep this everywhere we live? Because we need to know. Did he say that? Since we cannot keep or celebrate the Passover, nor can we celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Well, how, as Yah said, we were going to remember it because he was going to give us unleavened bread. Now, where did he say this? It's recorded back where we were earlier. It's in Exodus 12. Let's go back there. Let's go back to Exodus, the 12th chapter. And let's see, starting at the 17th verse, because I need to finish explaining the words of Yahweh when he said that this is an ordinance forever. In Exodus 12, verse 17, this is what it reads. And you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. And we're going to see that that's exactly what he did. That very day, he brought us out of Egypt. We're going to see that. And this is what he said further. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Okay. So in other words, we were to observe this as an ordinance forever, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But the criteria is, my people, we had to be in our own land, and it had to be in Jerusalem. This was the only place that we could have kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then we're going to go back to Deuteronomy 16, because I'm going to show you emphatically where the Almighty lets us know again all through this book where we're going to go to celebrate the actual feast. But there's a difference between celebrating the actual Feast of Unleavened Bread and eating unleavened bread and having no unleavened bread found in your homes. See, this is what the Creator told us in the 18th verse of Exodus 12. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Hallelujah. So in other words, everywhere we live, we were commanded by Yahweh to eat unleavened bread. No matter where we were, all of our habitations, we had to eat this unleavened bread. That's not celebrating the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's simply not adding or taking away, but keeping the commandment. See, we couldn't celebrate it unless we were in Jerusalem, where he placed his name at. We couldn't celebrate Passover, or keep the Passover, or kill the Passover lamb unless we were in the place where he placed his name. But he gave us instructions to eat nothing leavened, and in all our habitations, we were to eat unleavened bread. So therefore, I'm letting you know right here, he's commanding us to get rid of this leavening out of our homes. That's what he's doing. And what is the penalty for it? Now, it's very important that we see how important this is to him. The 19th verse again says, 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. So in other words, we got to clean up. My people, we got to clean up our houses of leavening products. Oh, yes, we're going to have to clean it up. Now, we have a list. Yes, we have a list of the things that you can eat, the things you're not supposed to eat, the things you're to get rid of out of your homes. And must I say, you don't have to throw it away. That's right. You don't have to throw it away. You can put it in storage. You can put it in storage somewhere else than your house, of course, in a different location. You can go to rent a storage for a week. Put all your stuff that's got leavening products in it, just put it in the storage. Or you could have a storehouse or a place that you can lock up in the back of your yard and put it there. And don't go back for 7 days once you put it in. Don't let it be seen with you. But you got to get it out of your house. That's the commandment of Yahweh. And according to the book of Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, the 32nd verse, it's very important that we do exactly what we're reading. And I'm going to show you why. In Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, the 32nd verse, verse 32, this is what it reads. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yahweh. So in other words, we were not to add nor take anything away from the words of the true and living Elohim. Because Yahweh told us, thou shalt not add nor take away. Yah said, whatever I command you, do it. Observe to do it. See that you do it. Hallelujah. So in other words, that's what he commands us. He commanded us to eat this unleavened bread because this is what he told us in verse 19. Let's please look at this again. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off. That means killed from the congregation of Israel. So in other words, my people, Yahweh means what he says and says what he means. It didn't make no difference who you are of Yah's people. Yah said he gonna cut you off. So it's a death penalty. And you want to know why we're dying at a high rate? Yahweh told us, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That's what Yahweh told us in his words. And let's go back to Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter. Let's see what the true and living Creator wants us to know furthermore about the three times that we were to come to worship him. And he's going to describe them to the T-bone steak. Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter. Here's what the true and living Elohim is commanding us in the 16th verse. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before Yahweh thy Elohim in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before Yahweh empty. Hallelujah. So in other words, the Most High is commanding us that we were to come three times in a year in the place that he chose. And he didn't choose Atlanta. He didn't choose Georgia. He didn't choose Asia. He didn't choose nowhere except the city of Jerusalem, period. We couldn't even celebrate it in our land, in one of our cities. It could only be in one place. And that was the place that he chose. And he chose Jerusalem. Furthermore, let's dispel the understanding that a lot of people believe that the Passover, that's when we left Egypt. That's when we went out. When Yahweh was striking the firstborn, we just left. They ran us out that night. I mean, that's exactly the epitome of what the so-called Jewish man has taught our people. And got some of our brothers teaching the same thing. That we left on the night of the 14th day during the Passover. But let's see what Yahweh says about this in Exodus, the 12th chapter. Again, we just look like we're hitting Exodus 12 and Deuteronomy 16 real good today. Look what Yahweh lets us know, my people. And I'm going to start at verse 21. I'm going to show you beyond the shadow of a doubt that we didn't go nowhere during the night of the Passover. So he wasn't talking about when he said, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto Yahweh thy Elohim. For in the month of Abib, Yahweh brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. When did he bring us forth out of Egypt? Meaning he was in the process of bringing us out of Egypt. Exodus 12, starting at the 21st verse. This is what it reads. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel in the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Let me read that again. and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For Yahweh will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yahweh will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Hallelujah. The scriptures say wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get ye wisdom. But with all thy getting, get understanding. Well, you read it for yourself. Yahweh letting you know right here, we didn't go nowhere. And it was never recorded that we lost one life during the Passover night. Not one at all. During none of the times that Yahweh was plaguing the Egyptians, there was no dogs barking in our communities. There were no frogs amongst us. There were no lice amongst us. There was no darkness in our camps when it was pure dark. In the camps and the places everywhere else in Egypt, it was just pure dark. But we had light. And Yahweh told us, don't, by the mouth of his prophet Moses, none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. Because when y'all see it, the blood on the lintel and the two side posts, y'all are going to pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. So in other words, if they would have opened that door, let alone left out, if they would have opened the door, the death angel would have killed him. Because guess what? He had been ordered in the name of Yahweh to smite the firstborn of Egypt. And we were given commandment not to leave, or we ourselves would have been smitten. Ooh, that's deep. Can't you see how serious this time is, my people? This is when Yahweh liberated us. Liberated us during the new year. That's why this time is so special to us. That's why you should be jubilated when the new year is about to come. That's why you should be jubilated when you hear that it's been reported in Jerusalem. And we're still looking for the reports and waiting on the reports to be thorough, that the Abib has been found in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. So important that we understand this time of year, as you can see. And of course, we're going to be opening our lines up in about 7 minutes. So if you'd like to give a comment, question, whatever the case may be, all you got to do is call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number one. We're going to put your question or your comment on the air. Or you might want to share a testimony. But we just want to hear from you. We'd be glad to hear from our brothers and sisters, our beautiful brothers and sisters all over the world that listen in to the true word. Hallelujah. So we can see, my people, when Yahweh told us in Deuteronomy, in the 16th chapter, the first verse, when he said, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto Yahweh thy Elohim, for in the month of Abib, Yahweh thy Elohim brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. He wasn't talking about the night of the Passover. Because guess what? We didn't go nowhere or we'd have been killed. Can you clearly saw that when I read to you, my people, in verses 21 through 23 in Exodus chapter 12? Well, let me show you how Yahweh kept up with all of our times that we went out and journeyed. It's recorded in Numbers, the 33rd chapter. Let's go to Numbers 33, This can never be too often emphasized. It's so important. Numbers, the 33rd chapter, let's read starting at the second verse. Speaking of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, this is what it says. And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of Yahweh. And these are their journeys according to their goings out. And they departed from Ramesses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover. The children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yahweh. So in other words, we departed. That means we began to leave, as you would depart from Atlanta to Chicago. If you're going by plane, they say that it's going to depart at 8 o'clock in the morning. Depart means they're going to be loading up, board up to go to Chicago. Well, that's what it was. We departed not during the Passover. It says they departed from Ramesses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow. On the morrow means the next morning after the Passover. Morrow means the next day. And most every next day in Scripture speaks of the morning time. So on the morrow means the next day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with an high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yahweh. Isn't that beautiful? Yahweh letting us know when a date changes. See, all through Scripture, the Passover is the 14th day at evening. There's no scriptures that says that the 15th day of the first month is the Passover, because the 14th day at evening is the Passover unto Yahweh. The 15th day of the first month, which is the next day, that day is called the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's what that day is called, not Passover. Because you notice it says on the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. Furthermore, let's again go back to Exodus 12. Now, we're going to see what night he's talking about in Exodus 12. Let's just get right to it. Exodus, the 12th chapter. We're going to read how our people came out in haste. This is so wonderful to read about how Yahweh saved us from our oppressors. As he's going to save us from the oppressors today. Just thinking about how much they have murdered our young brothers. If you'd like to talk about that, you can call 323-443-7418. Hit the number one. We're going to put your question or your comment on air. Because a lot of our people don't even know why we're being shot up, why we're being murdered by the police. Well, the word of Yahweh clearly tells you why. The word of Yahweh clearly prophesies these things would happen to us. Exodus, the 12th chapter, let's read. When our people were coming out of Egypt, this is what happened. It says in the 34th verse, it says, and the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. So in other words, the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. So in other words, they literally tied up the kneading troughs, the bowls that had the dough in it, and tied it up in their clothes. Why? Because if they hadn't, it would have went through the process which is known as fermentation. So that's how they would have keep air out so that it wouldn't decompose or change its composition. That's why you close containers so that your bread won't get hard. If you leave your bread out and you leave it, and you leave the bread open, in a lot of cases, some of the bread be hard. But as much poison as they put in some of this bread, you can leave it out all night and it'll still be the same. Because believe you me, we are in the land of our enemies. But if it's good bread or halfway and you don't tie it up, it won't be the same. It'll be a little bit harder, a lot harder, if you left that container open. So you close it to keep it fresh. So they closed it so it wouldn't fermentate. It wouldn't go through the process of fermentation. And it says, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. 36 verse. And Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt. And they could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of Yahweh went out from the land of Egypt. Check this out. Here it is, 42nd verse. It is a night to be much observed unto Yahweh for bringing them from out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of Yahweh to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Hallelujah. And see, we were only eating unleavened bread because that's all we had, y'all. Don't that make sense? So Yahweh never wanted us to forget that feeling. He never wanted us to forget that time when he had brought us out of Egypt. So therefore, you notice it says in the 41st verse, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the host of Yahweh went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto Yahweh for bringing them out of from the land of Egypt. This is that night of Yahweh to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And guess what? We observe this night. We stay vigil this night. Because he never restricted a place and said, you can't do this nowhere else. So that night, guess what we do? Because we don't add nor take away from the words of Yahweh. We do just what Deuteronomy 12, verse 13 says. Whatsoever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. That's what we do, my people. So in other words, if Yahweh said don't sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates, but in the place that he shall choose, doggone it, that's what we're going to do. So we're not going to try to celebrate Passover in America. America is not equivalent to Jerusalem in no way, shape, or form. This is the place where we have been hung, castrated, lynched, tarred and feathered, discriminated against. This is not Jerusalem. But guess what? What night is he talking about? Yahweh is talking about the night of the 15th day. See, on the beginning of the 15th day in the morning, on the morrow after the Passover, that's when we departed from Egypt. We began our leaving out. So he started the bringing us out of Egypt. By that night, we were happy, chilling, and camping in a whole nother place. Hallelujah. I'm going to prove that. I'm going to prove this point. He said this is a night to be must observe. Don't get me wrong. When we were in our land, we celebrated that Passover. We had to keep the rituals of the Passover. But the night that he wanted us to never forget, even here in America, was the night of the 15th day. That means the next night after the night of the Passover. Okay? That's the night that we were free. See, the one night, we couldn't go nowhere. Or the death angel, while he was killing the Egyptians, if we would have opened that door to leave, he would have killed us. So he didn't bring us out of Egypt by night. On the 14th night, he brought us out of Egypt by night on the night of the 15th day. That's when we were free. Now, let me prove that. Let me show you in Numbers, the 33rd chapter. And, of course, we're opening our phone lines up, 323-443-7418. Hit the number one. We're going to put your question or your comment on the air. Hallelujah. Numbers 33. Let me prove my point. Let's check it out again. Let's see what he said in Numbers 33, how we know that we weren't even in the same place. We weren't in Goshen. Look where it happened. In the third, fourth, and fifth verse, did what it reads. For they departed from Ramesses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn. And it's noted, my people, that the Egyptians buried their firstborn buried their dead. This was a custom of Egypt. They always buried their dead in the daytime, never at night. Always in the daytime. That's when they buried their dead. That's a known fact of the Egyptians. It says, for the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which Yahweh had smitten among them, upon their gods also Yahweh executed judgment. Then check the fifth verse out. It says, and the children of Israel removed from Ramesses and pitched in Sukkoth. Hallelujah. What does the Hebrew word pitch mean? The word pitch means they encamped. So in other words, when you encamp, that means you're lodging, you're staying over in a whole nother place. And this was not Ramesses. They had removed from Ramesses and encamped that night in Sukkoth. Hallelujah. See, the first night they were still in Goshen. They were in what is called Ramesses. And guess what? And pitched in camp the next night, on the night of the 15th day, on the morrow after the Passover, when they went out and departed. See, by that night, they journeyed that whole day, and by that nighttime, they encamped. They set their tents up, where? in Sukkoth, whole nother place. Hallelujah. And it's all in the book. All in the book. Go back to Exodus 12 again. Exodus 12 again. And I'll show you the same place. It's recorded right there in Exodus 12. Look what it reads. And we read this earlier in the 37th verse. It clearly says, "And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children." Hallelujah. So in other words, he tells you this, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And we're going to open our phone lines up right now. All you got to do is call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number one. We're going to put your question or your comment on the air as we go straight to area code 850. Shalom, shalom. You on the air?
Hi, how can I?
Shalom. How you doing?
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
This is Sister Sharon. How are you?
You know what? I figured that, but praise Yahweh, that is a beautiful thing. It is beautiful to hear your voice, beloved Sister Sharon. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful.
I didn't want to make a mistake.
Yeah.
You sounded like Sharon, but I had to wait till you said it, and I'm going to ask you. Well, praise the mighty Yahweh, sister. How you doing? How
yeah.
you been doing?
We're wonderful. Praise Yah. Listening still, you know, every Shabbat. And
hallelujah.
And I'm actually just getting familiar with this program, but it's a blessing. So praise Yah for that. But I was just going to make a quick comment concerning, you know, the Passover night. I mean, what sense does it make that you would go through all the trouble to put blood on your door and leave? I mean, who are you protecting?
Hello?
I mean, you know, so anyway, it's just, you know, the things that the Jewish man uses, you know, that we get sucked into are things that don't even make sense. They take one little thing and run with it, as opposed to taking the weight of the word, which is so heavy, you know, on the side that we know that we stayed inside that night. That's clear and apparent. But they
You're
take
right.
one little thing and run with it. You know, for our people to run with them is just sickening and disgusting. You know, like
Isn't
you said,
sickening.
You know. It's
Isn't
ignorant.
It?
You know, they don't even, Yah's not even dealing with them. You know, when you go to a man that Yah's not dealing with to get your information from. And that goes to show that he's not dealing with them. Because they don't make sense.
You're right.
But,
and of course, you're speaking the truth. According to Psalms 147, the 19th and 20th verse, he said he only showed his word to Jacob, his statutes and judgments to Israel. He never gave his word to a heathen. He don't deal with them. He never
right.
dealt with them, period.
Everything they use is like one little thing they take and run with it. Just like, you know, when they say that the Sabbath begins on the sixth night or sixth evening. They take one little thing and run with it, as opposed to going with all the weight of the scripture that says that the Sabbath starts in the morning. I mean, it's just ridiculous, you know, that you try and take a little thing. It shows that you don't have wisdom and that Yah is not dealing with you.
Hallelujah. Woo!
But I just...
You hit the nail on the head.
Make that love you.
Well, praise
love
the mighty
Yah.
You know it ain't nothing but love for you. And I know you coming down this weekend, the next weekend, huh?
Well, if it be the will of the Most High, we'll see.
Okay, because we want to see you.
Yeah, we're moving.
Definitely,
we're moving this
to celebrate,
week, though.
You know, what may be the new year time is according to when it falls.
Right.
It probably, you know, if it's a 29-day month, then that means on the Sunday we're going to have a new moon service and a first day of the month celebration.
Right. Well, I know it's going to be a blessing. So.
Yes, it is. And even if it happened to be a 30-day month, then we're still going to celebrate because we know it's
right.
about that time anyway. So I praise Yahweh
right.
and I love you and I appreciate your comment and what you said.
Love you too. Kiss Yahweh.
All right.
Love y'all.
All right, praise
okay.
Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you to live forever and stay healthy, okay?
Hallelujah, and you as well, and your whole family. Love y'all. Shalom.
Love you too. Shalom, shalom. Praise the mighty Yahweh. Hallelujah. And, of course, as I mentioned, Like our beloved Sister Sharon just called, we praise Yahweh because we invite your comments or your questions. And we also invite you to just listen if you like, because this is a dedicated show to the words of the true and living Elohim. So we realize that when you're listening, Yahweh blesses you so that you can hear his words, so you can understand his laws, because many of our people have never heard this. And as Sharon said, a lot of our people have been mistaught by the so-called Jewish man. That means the people, in case this is the first time, because we have a lot of first-time callers listening in to our broadcast. And must I say, the people that's in the land today, they are not the true Israelites. We are, meaning all so-called African Americans, all black descendants of slaves that were scattered to the four corners of the world. We are the chosen of Yahweh. And we don't realize just how important it is for us to know who we are. He said again, he said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And he also said something else that's very important to our life. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. In the time we have remaining, and of course you can call us. Let's go to Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, we're going to read the 16th verse. Very important that we see and understand this. It says, for the leaders of this people cause them to err. That means to make mistakes. And they that are led of them are destroyed. That is a fact. Many of our people have went to the grave believing that a day starts in the evening time when a day is going out. I mean, really, literally. That's why it's so important that we know the times of Yahweh. And must I say, my people, many people don't know his appointed times. They don't even know how to understand his lights that he left in the heavens for signs, for seasons, for days and years. This is something the Creator said about his people that it seems like it ain't no doubt about it. It's true because y'all don't lie. Let's go to Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 8. Look what Yahweh is letting us know. And he's going to give an analogy with this, with a crane and a turtle and a swallow. And I thought this is so deep. Look what he told us. Starting at the 4th verse of Jeremiah 8, it says, moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus said Yahweh, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem smitten back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. That's what happens when you slide backwards. He calls it backsliding. And you've got a lot of backsliding Hebrews, which means Hebrews that were actually in the truth of Yahweh, walking in the laws completely of Yahweh, and then they found a way to stray. They backslid and went away from the ordinances of the Almighty. And the Almighty said they refused to return because they're trusting in their own heart or trusting in some man or trusting in the ways of heathen or trusting the heathen's calendars or any calendar for that matter, because the word calendar is nowhere in the word of Yahweh. There is no Hebrew word for calendar. And I'm telling you, Yahweh puts it out point blank right here. Look what he said in the 6th verse. I hearkened and heard, but they spoke not aright. no man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rushed into battle. Yeah, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of Yahweh. Hallelujah. How do you say we are wise, and the law of Yahweh is with us? Lo, certainly, in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. Oh, my goodness. Yahweh said, and look what he compared us to when it comes to his judgments. When it comes to his people, our people don't know when a new year begins. Our people don't know what it means to eat my souls. Most of our people don't even know how to count time in the eyes of Yahweh. They're going by a calendar, thinking that when they see the January month, the first day of that month is the first day of the month and the first day of a new year. But not only are people that don't even know who they are, some of our beloved brothers and sisters who say they know who they are, they don't even understand the appointed times. He said the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. Goodness gracious. But what Yahweh letting us know, we don't know his judgments. We don't even understand the times that he has appointed. We don't know when. See, he's concentrating on the time itself. They know when it's their appointed times. The turtle, crane, and swallow, they know when to observe when they come. But Yahweh telling us, we don't know when to keep the Sabbath. We don't know when to keep his feast days. We don't even know how to keep some of his holy feast day and how to keep it itself. Whether it's the Day of Atonement, whether it's the Feast of Trumpets, whether it's the Sabbath. So you can see, y'all, this is what we're going to have to do. It's recorded in 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to put this out there. I'm going to put a challenge out. And I'm going to tell you what the challenge is going to be. I would like for my beloved brothers and sisters all over the world that hear this broadcast, if you don't know, challenge yourselves. I challenged my class this past Sabbath yesterday, and I asked them, the Sabbath pre, for the young people to recite all the books of the scripture from Genesis to Malachi. Remember, these are the most important books in the world. Should not Yah's people know the books of the words of our salvation? Yah said, the grass withered, the flower faded, but the words of our Elohim shall stand forever. So in other words, certainly we should know the books of Scripture. We should know them in order from Genesis to Malachi. Certainly we should. We should know Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Certainly, we should know the books of Yahweh in order, in the proper order. And so I challenge all of my fellow brothers and sisters all over the world to study this. Study these books in order. And next week when we come back, you call in and be honest. Don't be looking at nothing that gives you the book, these books in order. And challenge yourselves. And call in next week. You have a whole week. Whole week. Study. Know these books. And that's all we're asking. Just to know the books of Yahweh. The most important book that we have on this earth. The book that gives the greatest laws, statutes, commandments, covenants, precepts, testimonies, and ordinances in the entire world. The book of the prophets of Yahweh, as he ordained in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, where he's told us when we didn't want to hear his voice no more. We said we didn't want to hear the voice of Yahweh no more. So what Yahweh said, okay, you have well spoken that which you spoke. He said, I'm going to raise you up a prophet from among your brethren, like unto you, Moses. And I'm going to put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. So in other words, that's just how important this book is. Challenge your knowledge. Know the books in order from Genesis to Malachi. And then next week, call me and let the world know just how the Almighty is elevating your intelligence to know your books, to learn your feast days, to learn what it means to take the leaven out of our homes and what kind of spirit the Almighty wants us to have. And how he wanted us to feel and remember just how our fathers felt in Egypt. So he made a proclamation in all our habitations and dwellings that we were to eat unleavened bread. That's all I ask for my people to do, is to at least try to learn these books. Even the adults next week in the, at the House of Israel of Atlanta, they're going to be studying, they're going to be able to call out these books in order like we're supposed to. Challenge yourself. Get to know the words of the Almighty, at least by its books. Yah said something about this book that you should know in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the 34th chapter. And then we end this broadcast, which we're about to end, on how important this word of Yahweh is in these books. Okay? And this is what we're going to do. We're going to show you just what the word of the Almighty said. In Isaiah, the 34th chapter, the 16th verse, this is what it reads. Seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read. No one of these shall fail. And that's the books I'm talking about right now. The books that we should know in here. A lot of us are saying we're trying to bring Jacob back to Yahweh, and we don't even know the books that we're bringing him back to. Yah said no one of these books is going to fail. None shall lack its mate. That means none of these books need and worry about no lost books. Because a lot of people try to tell us and throw us off track and tell me, yeah, man, you need to get them lost books out there, bruh. It's some lost books of the Bible. That's a lie. None shall lack its mate. It's not yearning for another book, period, because it lacks nothing. not this scroll. For my mouth, said Yahweh, it has commanded, and his spirit, it has gathered them. Hallelujah. See how important it is? Challenge yourselves to study the books of Scripture from Genesis to Malachi. All that we're asking is that you know the books, the names of the books, in order from Genesis to Malachi. And then next week, nobody's going to put you on the spot. If you mess up, don't worry. Be honest. Don't look at the book. Don't look and see if you're doing it in order. But understand, this is a beautiful thing. It's going to be wonderful, and we want to be able to know the books of Yahweh. So, my people, we're going to close with the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the 8th verse. This is what it reads. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the words of our Elohim shall stand forever. My name is Brother Elkanah ben Israel. You've been listening to The True Word, P.O. Box 490-446, Atlanta, Georgia, 30349, if you wanted to write us. If you need to call me and ask anything, write this number down. You can reach me. Call area code 404-579-7908. 404-579-7908. On behalf of the entire House of Israel of Atlanta, Yahweh loves you, and we certainly do too. Shalom, shalom.
He brought me out of my request.